Support for podcasts of Medical Monday comes from Vassar Brothers Medical Center, the only hospital between Yonkers and Canada offering Makoplasty, the newest robotic surgical system for hip replacement and partial knee resurfacing. health-quest.org/VBMC ortho.
Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields. In the studio today on this Medical Monday is Dr. Shantala Sanad. Dr. Sanad is an urgent care specialist with HealthQuest Urgent Care Centers in Wappingers Falls and LaGrangeville, New York. She treats injuries and illness that require immediate but not emergency care and is here to answer your questions about treating urgent care issues in medicine. Dr. Sanad earned her medical degree from Ross University School of Medicine in New York City and completed her residency in family medicine at McLaren Regional Medical Center in Flint, Michigan. She has extensive experience with laceration repair, splinting, casting, skin biopsy, and lesion removal, and cryotherapy, among many other treatments common in urgent care. Dr. Sanad is on the program today. Your calls are a very important part of that program. The number to call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on your Facebook page, facebook.com/wamcradio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org, or if you're old-fashioned, just pick up the phone, 800-348-2551. Dr. Sanad, thank you.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
What are the what drew you to urgent care?
You know, urgent care is really exciting because you can see a patient and really within 4 or 5 minutes make them feel better. And It's really a happy reward. You can treat lots of people in one day, really up to 30, 40, 50 people.
Now
so
let's,
it's really rewarding.
Let's make sure we know the difference here.
Sure.
Urgent care and emergency care. We know what the emergency room is all about, and
right.
Nobody wants to go there.
Right.
Urgent care, it's a little different. It's sore throats. It might be a broken bone. It might be a sprain. You don't know, so you go to urgent care.
Exactly right. The difference is maybe if your family doctor isn't open, maybe it's after hours or the weekend, and you really are sick, you need to see somebody, but you don't really want to wait, you know, sometimes 4 or 5 hours. And
right.
The ER urgent care is really the perfect place for it. We have x-ray. Like I said, you can treat lacerations. So we're really able to help you with anything you have. And if it's a little bit out of our scope, we'll send you to the ER.
So. You say there's just about a little of everything. What do you see the most, though? Is there something?
Good question. It actually depends on the season, truthfully.
Right.
In the summer, we see a little bit more. We do see a lot of Lyme disease in Dutchess County. It's number one, unfortunately, in the whole U.S. But sore throat, bronchitis, I mean, flus in the flu season, there's tons of those. You really can't get away from that. But in the summer now, we've seen lots of ankle sprains. I was kayaking. I was doing this. There's lots and lots of orthopedics that we see. So there's lots of that in the summer, too. But it really does kind of depend on the season. But we see a little bit of everything every day. So.
I'm surprised people come in for Lyme disease. Do they come in right after the tick bite? Is that
true. So it's a lot of discrepancies. I come in, hey, there's a tick on me. Can you take it off? Sometimes they just need a little bit of help taking it off. And some, well, I'm not sure if I got bit, but I feel kind of crappy, for lack of a better word. You know, I have a fever, headache. So a lot of times we need to decide if they do need lab testing and if they do need treatment. So
800-348-2551 is the number to call. We got a call already. Let's see. It is Joan Marie. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Let me start out. The call is for my granddaughter. Today she's exactly 18 months and 18 days old. She has been given medication which has helped her a great deal for the pain. She had reflux.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Okay.
It's something called ranitidine.
Ranitidine?
That she takes to,
yes.
And then there's something else called, it's spelled M-O-N-T-E-L-U-K-A-S-T.
Montelukast.
So, yes, sodium. And she chews that at night, you know, when she takes her ranitidine. Now, that has helped her, but we are in potty training.
Oh,
and,
very exciting.
And again, she somehow, we're wondering, and my girlfriends were wondering, does this affect the stomach or the body, the medicine she's getting, in the signals to go potty, to go to the bathroom, because when it comes for peeing, she somehow doesn't, she was telling us, and now since she, this medicine, she doesn't say anything.
Hmm.
Does it affect the signals of the body or anything?
Well, it's interesting, or? Joan, I just have a couple of questions to ask you, if that's okay, to give me a little bit,
of course. Yeah.
More knowledge. How long has she been on the medicine?
Oh, how long has she been on the medicine? She's been on the medicine now for about 1 month.
Oh, okay. So just months. So she had reflux that started a little bit later in her life, not when she was a newborn.
Yeah. Yes, later in her life.
Okay.
That we know. Yeah.
Right. So in the last month, you've noticed after on the medicine, she doesn't really tell you, oh, I have to go to the bathroom?
Right. And before she did.
Oh,
and it's like she's losing the signals, or is it the terrible twos?
I mean, really, you undo the risk benefit. And honestly, the reflux medicine has helped her, so that's a good thing. So I would definitely say, you know, staying on is a good thing. But truthfully, some kids maybe just might not be ready. There's not a huge cause-effect relation from that medicine that I am aware of. Again, I'm not a pediatric specialist, so you can definitely follow up with your pediatrician. But truthfully, I don't think it should be a huge difference. Some children really aren't ready until they're, you know, closer to 2 years old. That might just be the factor, and she's giving you signs. Give me a little bit of time, and I'll tell you when I'm ready. That could be it.
I am so glad that this radio program is today.
Okay. Thank you so much, Joan. Good luck.
Thank you very much for calling. I didn't know infants could get reflux.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, definitely. It's a big concern.
They're not drinking coffee yet. How do they get it? You
know? there's a lot of different reasons. It just depends. Yeah, but it's...
So you can be born with it?
Yeah. Really? Yeah, that's why I say a lot of times you can, in pregnancy, poor women have a lot of reflux, but you can take the medicine and can help the baby when they're born, too.
800-348-2551. Let's see, Naya in New York City.
Hi, Naya.
Hello.
Hello. Hi. Thanks for your call, Naya.
Hi, Dr. Sanad.
Hi.
Yep. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for calling. What can I do for you?
So, okay, I'm a little bit concerned because I've been noticing that my boyfriend has a mole on his face.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, this summer, it started out small, kind of more of like a, maybe the size of, like a small, maybe like a pinprick, like a smaller type of size. And I've noticed that it's increased maybe by like, I would say 50%. And I've noticed getting darker. I didn't know because he's outside a lot. He's always outside running and things like that. Like, is this something, you know, like normal? Like when the skin darkens, that moles darken? Or is this something that you think could be a problem?
Right. Well, good question. I just wanted to ask you, how long has he had the mole? His whole life? Or
he's had the mole as long as I've known him, which has been almost for 2 years. But I've just been, I mean, it's hard to say because I, you know, I see him all the time. But I definitely think that it's gotten bigger.
Okay.
In those past 2 years.
Yeah. The things we look for moles, honestly, are symmetric borders. So is it smooth around the sides or is it a little bit jagged, kind of a funny shape?
Oh, I don't know. I think that it's actually slightly jagged on the ends, kind of like an oval shape, but then it's kind of coming to a point. So is that maybe
okay.
a problem?
Well, not necessarily a problem. Is he, can I ask how old he is?
Yeah, he's 32.
Okay. Any medical problems at all? Any history of skin cancer in the family?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So definitely, I mean, for his young age and fairly good health, it's very likely a benign mole, which means not cancerous. But just because it has changed kind of rapidly, 50% is a big difference. A lot of times sun can change a little bit, but it sounds a little bit more significant, especially the uneven borders makes me just a little concerned. I'd feel much better if he saw his family doctor and or a dermatologist just to make sure that there's nothing to worry about. They can always do a tiny biopsy if they had any questions, or they can, you know, do an exam and make sure that he's all set and there's nothing to worry about.
Oh, okay, great. Thank you so much, because I feel like I've been telling him that myself, but now that I got your professional recommendation, now he'll actually
Doctor's orders. Go to the doctor.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much for calling, Naya. Have a great day.
What is it about men and doctors? I mean, their hand could be falling off, and don't worry about it.
It's the same with erections. I don't know what it is. I think it's I think it might be the male ego. You know, you don't ever want to say there's anything wrong with you.
800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We're talking urgent care today. Urgent care with Dr. Chantala Sanad of the Urgent Care Center of both Wappingers Falls and LaGrangeville, operated by HealthQuest. The number to call, 800-348-2551.
support comes from St. Mary's Healthcare, Amsterdam, New York, offering minimally invasive spine surgery. Choose stmarys.com. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, now offering legal help for veterans, serving the public for over 30 years, nysba.org/lawyer-referral. Ellis Medicine, providing primary care for the Capital Region with offices in Ballston Spa, Clifton Park, Glenville, Latham, Malta, and Schenectady, ellismedicine.org. Sweater Venture, East Greenbush, New York. 35 years of hand-knitting fair trade sweaters and accessories in support of indigenous communities around the world. SweaterVenture.com. And Art Along the Hudson, the Garrison Arts Center Fine Crafts Fair, this Saturday and Sunday in Garrison, Beacon 3D and Windows on Main all this week in Beacon. ArtAlongTheHudson.com.
This is Vox Pop, 800-348-2551. Doctor, hard to believe that when it's warm like this, but flu season is not far away. You must see an awful lot of that.
Yes, we do, actually. Flu season is coming up. CDC technically says flu season is October to May, but we have seen cases really in late August and September. So this is a good chance for me to say, please, people, yes, get your flu shot. It does not cause the flu. It's a myth. If you guys have any mm-hmm. questions, I could definitely help you out with that. But yeah, it's very, very beneficial. We see tons. Sometimes 15, 20 days.
The flu changes every year, so
yes.
You have to kind of...
It's tricky. So the CDC does a lot of research really in the spring season after flu's kind of gone to say, okay, what did we see? What are we going to see? What do we approximate that we're going to see? So they do their best to formulate an immunization for that. So that's why I think people are kind of hesitant. It's like, oh, this isn't going to kill the exact virus. Forget it. Truthfully, the flu vaccine protects you against 3 or 4 every year strains. Even if it's only one of the exact strains, you're still going to get benefit. They say even 60% to 70% you're going to be benefited against the flu. And there's something that causes that's called cross protection. So even if you get the flu shot and it's not the exact one that you're mm-hmm. going to fight, you're going to have a little bit of protection against other strains as well. So,
and the flu can kill.
Yes, I mm-hmm. unfortunately have seen at least a handful, and young children as well.
Usually infants and the elderly?
Yes. And, yeah. Yep, infants and elderly. The flu, they said it's a big number, but it kills 3 to 35,000 people every season.
And so, a lot of people come in, I bet they say, I have the flu, but it's really just a bad cold.
Exactly.
Right?
Good that you bring that up. Yeah, truthfully, there's a bunch of differences how you can kind of tell, but a lot of people think they have the flu. But if you do, you really got to come in and see somebody, and you can get protected. That's why. It seems like a simple, easy choice. Mm-hmm. Just come in and protect yourself.
800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. When you work in urgent care, a lot of urgent cares are open all night long. Mm-hmm. The doctor's not available. The emergency room in some rural areas may be pretty far away, so people come to you with chest pains. And it could be a heart attack. Maybe it's just indigestion. What do you do?
Right. Good question. Yeah. So when people come in with chest pains, a lot of times it's really about the patient's history. So, oh, I've had this for 3 months. You know what? Probably not a heart attack. We want to ask about the patient's family history. If they're a little bit, if they're older, 55, 65, if they have any family history of chest pains. If it's, oh, I have sudden acute chest pain and I'm sweating. Goodness, we're probably going to send you out of here to the emergency room because it's probably something we can't take care of. But we'll do an EKG, see if we see any abnormalities. That can really tell us, looks like you're having an acute heart attack. Actually, looks like you're not. If we really think they are, we can prevent them, give them some aspirin, mm-hmm. call 911 and send them out.
800-348-2551. Daniel in Slingerlands, go ahead.
Yes, hello, Doc.
Thank
you so
Daniel.
Much for taking my call.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for calling in.
The question is about a possible sports hernia.
Oh,
I play soccer,
sorry.
And I've had, I don't know, I'm not sure if you're familiar with if that. If,
yes, please, go ahead.
I know you said you deal with some orthopedic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it started up about, it's probably been about a year and a half, 2 years now.
Oh, that's a long time.
Yeah, and it was more painful and tough to play at first.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I, really didn't play and just stayed off it. And the pain went away, and it would be only just a little sore after mm-hmm. the game.
Okay.
And maybe the next day, at the most 2 days later,
mm-hmm.
and then I'll be fine. But, I will have pain getting out of the car sometimes. I don't know, coughing. I just, I, you know.
Oh, okay. lots of symptoms then.
But like it's slight, you know, it's very mild and it goes away. I'm not sure if it's something that I obviously don't want to turn into a actual hernia.
Well, right. It sounds like you very likely do have a hernia. The fact that it keeps coming and going, Daniel, your body's kind of telling you, hey, I'm here and I'm not going away. So I think you got to take care of it. A lot of times hernias can be kind of, there's two different kinds, inguinal and femoral, depending on the area. But there is often a chance where the hernia can become what's called incarcerated. So it's a kind of a scary emergent thing, which you don't want to happen. So now that you're just having kind of pain on and off, it's a good time right now to go see your family doctor and or a surgeon. They can do a check and see if they need to get it removed or surgically taken care of. Even any like lifting 5-10 pounds, Daniel, just something light with a hernia that's been there for that long can cause it to suddenly get a lot worse. So you've had it for kind of a while, and especially if you want to keep playing soccer and things like that, I would hold off from doing anything too strenuous, from lifting anything too heavy, and I would go see your doctor.
Okay. Is there a possibility that if it was a hernia that surgery would not be necessary?
Yes, definitely. Surgery isn't always the answer at all. The fact that you've had it for kind of a long time, sometimes it can kind of resolve a little bit, come back and go. But since when you're coughing and things, and you feel kind of a bulge there when you cough?
I do not. No, okay. I've been very,
that's good.
Careful to check.
Right, definitely.
For that.
Okay. So that's a good thing. And honestly, your doctor could probably rule out other things. It could be, you know, inguinal muscle strains and things like that can cause really a lot of similar symptoms.
Right.
But for sure, if you have any fever, fatigue, anything like that, that's a sign that it could be the hernia getting worse. So we don't want to wait to that point.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much, Daniel. I hope you feel better.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your advice and your help.
Thank you, of course, anytime.
Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551, the number to call. 800-348-2551. It's all about urgent care today on Medical Monday. And Sophie in the Berkshires. Go ahead, Sophie.
Hi.
Hi, Sophie.
I have a question about my mom was watching my twin boys over the weekend. They're 5.
Okay.
And she mentioned that one of the boys was getting like really cranky after he had eaten breakfast, and it was a little while before lunch, and he got really cranky and tired. And then after lunch, he was fine. So she was thinking maybe it was some diabetic symptoms or maybe low blood sugar. And I was kind of wondering, like, what symptoms might we look for either low blood sugar or diabetes to see if that might be something that's going on with him?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, definitely. Good question. You said your twin boy is 5, you said?
Yeah.
Okay. And in the past, has he ever had any problems eating before or after any certain foods he can't tolerate? Any allergies?
No, there's dairy allergies in the family.
Okay.
And he's got very sensitive skin. I noticed that if he doesn't eat dairy, that his skin clears up. His twin brother has a dairy allergy and will break out if he has dairy, too much dairy. So.
Okay.
That's in the family.
Got it. Okay. Any diabetes in the family, Sophie?
Yes. My grandfather was a diabetic, and I have endocrine system issues.
Oh, okay. So definitely in the family. Okay, so the things, truthfully, that we think about, I mean, 5-year-olds, I hate to say it, sometimes they can be cranky before or after eating. Sometimes, you know, if they're tired or they're still hungry, things like that. But really for diabetes, we think of increased thirst. That's really one of the main signs we would see. It's called polyuria, that's increased urine. But if they're very, very thirsty, that's one sign. And also peeing a lot more, which is what I just mentioned before, polyuria. Those are two main things of diabetes that we'd want to make sure and get it checked. But just because it's in your family, I mean, I would probably be safe. You could check with your pediatrician if they could, you know, just a simple blood test to see if there's any elevated blood sugar. And as you asked before, for low blood sugar, you want to look for really signs of fatigue, kind of lethargic, not as active as normal. So those are the main things you want to look for.
Okay.
Yes, and hopefully that's not the case, but I would get him checked out just to be safe.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Take care.
Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551. Urgent care today on Medical Monday, 800-348-2551. Doctor, most doctors can work with medical records, but when a patient comes to see you, do you have quick computer access to their medical records, or do you just have to fly blind.
Yes, no, it's actually really nice. So it's HealthQuest Urgent Care. So we're associated with all the practices, mm-hmm. all the primary care, everything like that. So we have a general clinical works, which is called. So it's online charting, which is great. So I can see what his family doctor did for him the day before, which is really nice. So
do they have to be a HealthQuest physician for you to get that?
For HealthQuest, yes, we do. But if not, really just try and do a really good, you know, intake and family history, just get all the evidence we can to help him out as much as we can.
800-348-2551. Linda in Shelburne Falls, go ahead.
Hello, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a problem with, well, first of all, I'm not sure if it's looking for sympathy or not, but I have no ride out of here. And on Friday, I stubbed a inside toe on, you know, it was not even stuff, it was whatever, but it was disjointed. And so I put it in a joint. It was very painful.
Linda, I'm sorry, I can't hear you very well.
Yeah, you're cutting in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yep, I'm so sorry. I missed a good chunk of that.
Yeah, you were cutting in out. So essentially, do you think you have a broken toe? Is that it?
Something behind my toe.
Something behind your toe?
I thought it was just a disjointed toe because I fixed it. And now it becomes more aware to me that there's something behind that toe that got, maybe got broken.
Hmm. Like, you mean underneath the toe itself?
Or inside
sort
the
of.
Foot?
Yeah. Sort of, yeah.
Okay.
Sort of behind and underneath.
Okay, do you have any bruising at all?
No, actually I don't. That was surprising.
Okay, so squeeze the toe for me. Does it hurt?
Oh, no. I already did that.
So
behind the toe. So I squeeze behind the toe. No. Yeah.
And it does hurt?
It hurts.
Okay.
Very seriously hurts.
Oh, okay. So when you're just walking on at normal steps, does that cause discomfort?
I can't walk normal steps.
Oh, goodness. Okay. So very likely, you could have a broken toe. The best thing to do before you see your physician, honestly, is to what's called buddy taping. It's old school and it's good school. So which toe is it?
It's my big toe on my right.
Oh, it's your big toe. Okay. So it's kind of tricky to buddy tape because it's a big toe, but if you just put some tape around that and the second toe as well, it kind of gives support to that toe.
Right.
And really try not to do too much running or strenuous activity. What they can do is take a picture. Right. Take a picture of that toe to make sure. And it's really kind of hard. You can't do much for a broken toe, but it's good to know if it's broken so then you know what kind of things you should and shouldn't do.
And the other problem is I'm taking ibuprofen. I get rebound headaches.
Oh, goodness. Can you try and alternate with Tylenol? Because Tylenol works very well for toes.
They both do that.
Oh, goodness.
Is that okay? That's a good thing. Wrap it.
All right.
Hello?
Yeah, I think we may have lost, but thank you very much. Get that toe seen. What is it about toes and fingers that hurt so much?
Yeah, I don't know. We just use them too much, that's for sure.
Yeah. 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And we go to Colony. Marcia, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, doctor. Thank you. Someone I'm close to, a woman, is very tall, like 6 feet. She maybe weighs 140 pounds, and she's taking medication for hypothyroid. And I'm just wondering, I haven't confronted her directly, mm-hmm. but is that an appropriate medication? I think of someone who's maybe heavier having a underactive thyroid.
True.
So,
yeah, Marcia, that's, well, we hate to say, you know, this is always the case, but usually you are right. Hyperthyroidism a lot of times is seen in people that are taller and thinner, and hypothyroidism is seen in people that, not necessarily tall, but at least thinner, but hypothyroid is often if you're a little bit heavier, but we can't say for sure. I've had patients that are, you know, on the other way, so she might even have a mix of the two, but sometimes the hypothyroid medicine is what works for her, but I think it's important to make sure that she has her levels checked regularly, because a lot of times with hypothyroidism, if your medicine isn't exactly at the right amount, it can cause, you know, worsening symptoms. You always want to make sure and have good regular follow-up at least every 3 to 6 months with your doctor, because those medicines can kind of, you know, cause a lot of side effects if they're not at the right amount.
Oh, okay. Now, what kind of side effects might they be?
Well, when you're hyper or hypo, you see different things. A lot of times with hypothyroidism, you're very lethargic, you're very tired, you're sleepy all the time. If you're hyper, you're kind of sweaty a lot, you know, you have a little bit of heart palpitations and things like that. So it can cause, if you're on a hypothyroid medicine, it can cause you to go into be maybe more hyperthyroid if it's not at the right dose. So you just want to, make sure she's at the right level that she needs to be.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, of course. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Let's talk to John. John, go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, John. How are you? Good, thanks.
Good. Yeah, I'll make this as short as I can. I've seen a primary physician for probably a good 10 to 15 years.
Okay.
Same one. In the meantime, they don't do trigger. I have three or four slip herniated discs in my back, some bone spurs, some other things going on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Arthritis and whatnot. So I started seeing a doctor that specializes in, you know, trigger point injections, cortisone, and chiropractic service. Okay. He was prescribing me pain medication for everything I got going on in my back. A couple months into that, I ran out of some anti-anxiety medication, so I called my primary physician, and I requested a refill on the prescription. Well, they asked me what milligram. I'm like, I can't remember, but I think it's 2 milligram. Well, she prescribed the 2 milligram. When I got home, I looked at my own bottle. It was 0.5 milligram. So I'm like, oh, I got the wrong medication. So in the meantime, a mail order prescription that I don't want to mention, they do automatic refills. When you run out, they automatically mm-hmm. call your doctor and get refills.
Okay.
So they did that the very next day. So now I've got two prescriptions for the same medication for two different milligrams. A week later, I get a letter from my primary physician saying that he's dropping me for abusing the medication.
Oh.
And he also said that I have, because I have two primary physicians. And I called them and spoke to the office manager, and she says, well, I'll call you back. I've never heard from her, and I don't expect
to. Well, let's let the doctor chime in. I'm not sure if she can help you out, but what do you say?
Yeah, well, no, I'm sorry to hear that. A lot of times what happens is if you're taking a certain milligrams, as in two, and the pharmacy only has, let's say, 0.5, so they'll give you that many, and you can take three or four at a time to equal the two. But it's kind of tricky to say. There's a lot of the New York State medical prescription law, truthfully, is cracking down. We just want to make sure. It's probably just the safety. You know, your primary doctor wasn't sure, so if you call them and clear it up and probably explain to them the situation, they could hopefully understand. But a lot of times for pain medicine, it's better to see a pain specialist than a family doctor because they have a little bit more experience with that.
Doctor, it seems every day we hear something about heroin or opioid abuse. Are you seeing overdoses coming into urgent care?
Yeah, sadly. Yeah. I actually just saw one last week. There's a good amount of heroin abusers in our area. It's very, very sad. And it's really surprising to see so much, but there's a lot of issues we have too with people that come in really just, you know, for pain medicines and things like that. So, but New York State, we have something that's called iStop. And so every patient that comes in, no matter what, we look it up and we have to see if you've been given medicines by other providers. It's really the safety of us and for them to not prescribe it. So,
do you use the Narcan that they're distributing?
The Narcan is more for the ER use, not for the urgent care. Okay. So, yep.
800-348-2551. Let's talk to Merle in Argyle. Merle?
Hi. This is a general question about urgent care as opposed to going to a clinic or a emergency room.
Okay.
I'll give you a brief history. Basically, what happened was I got bit by, I was dog sitting, and the dog bit me.
And, oh, that's no fun.
Oh, no. That wasn't fun at all. And the next day, I said, you know, maybe I better go have it looked at. Well, my primary doctor, I mean, they don't even look at wounds.
Oh, okay.
And so I went to a clinic in Glens Falls, and as soon as they saw an open wound, they sent me to the emergency room, and then I was there for
so cost
6
is the
hours
question, right?
to have them put in 2 stitches.
Right. You know what? You needed urgent care. That's really what you needed. Else...
And that's what I'm asking. Is
yeah.
that what urgent care, I mean, is your wait time as long?
No, not at all. I'll tell you what, Yamaro, if we see open wounds, we love wounds, we take care of it. The thing is, urgent care a lot of times has lower copays with insurance and lower self-pay rates than the emergency room. And honestly, I mean, you can wait maybe 5-10 minutes. If it's very busy, it could, you know, up to be an hour. But either way, it's not going to be 6 hours at all.
Right, because
yeah.
I mean, I needed like 2 stitches.
Oh,
and,
we can do that for you anytime.
But I was there for all night almost.
Yeah, in the future.
You know, they put you down on what list you're on. All right. Thank you.
Yep. Anytime. Take care.
Sort of a triage in the emergency
room.
Yeah,
exactly.
I guess a dog bite kind of
Yeah, it's way low on the totem pole. But for urgent care, it's higher.
800-348-2551. We'll be back with more calls on Vox Pop in a moment.
Support comes from Nathan Littower Hospital, Gloversville, New York, less than 50 minutes from Albany, offering minimally invasive procedures for back pain with Dr. Jian Shen, NLH.org. Windy Hill Farm, Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering summer blooming Rose of Sharon, Hydrangea, Buddleia, or Butterfly Bush, WindyHillFarmInc.com. Mass Mocha, North Adams, Massachusetts, presenting Jason Isbell on August 15th, Stefan Rembel on August 23rd, and the Fresh Grass Festival featuring Emmylou Harris September 19th through 21st, massmocha.org. The Glass Onion, Block Island, Rhode Island, since 1989 offering apparel, jewelry, body care, books, home and garden supplies, and kids gear, featuring local vendors on the island's main street, glassonionblockisland.com. And Miss Hall's School, a boarding and day school for girls in grades 9 through 12, now accepting applications for September 2014. What girls have in mind, MissHalls.org.
The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Today, Medical Monday, we're looking at urgent care. Dr. Chantal Sanad is an urgent care specialist at HealthQuest Urgent Care Center in Wappingers Falls and LaGrangeville, 800-348-2551. And Dan in Lee, Massachusetts.
Hi.
Hi, Dan.
I had two hernia repairs like 20 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And the one on the left, it was laparoscopic and they put in mesh. And the one on the left recently has, you know, seems to have gotten bigger and taken a different shape, maybe dropped down a little.
Uh-oh.
And now I've asked two different doctors and they just kind of shrug it off, and one of them said if they didn't want to examine me for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
One of them said, if it doesn't hurt, do nothing.
Okay.
Now, it seems to, you know, get bigger when my bladder is full.
Okay.
Like first thing in the morning, you know. I just got this big bump. Sometimes it feels like it's ready to pop out of me.
Does it go away when you push on it, Dan?
If I push it in...
Or does
I'm
it come
pushing
right
it in constantly.
Okay. Yeah, so a lot of times hernia repairs and the mesh works very, very well for a lot of people, but unfortunately sometimes it can recur and come back, especially based on your lifestyle as well, if you're kind of active. But it kind of sounds like it's bothering your, you know, your quality of life. So I would definitely go back either to your family doctor or someone that can do an indefinite exam, and then maybe you can go back to your surgeon if he or she is still practicing, or maybe a new surgeon and get a consult. So a lot of times you can just see a new surgeon. They could do a, you know, initial consult and see, well, hey, I think this is something we could definitely take care of, because if it doesn't hurt you, I understand, but it seems like it's bothering you, so I think you should get it taken care of.
Well, it's like this huge lump, you know? It's not very attractive.
Right. I mean, nobody wants a big lump, so...
Not that a lot of people go down there, but...
Right. Time to take care of the lump. Good luck, Dan.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Time to keep this show out of the X ratings, too. 800-348-2551. Marie in Newburgh.
Hi, Marie.
Hi. Hi, doctor. Thank you.
Yeah, of course.
I was diagnosed with Lyme disease June 23rd. I was given a week's worth of, doxycycline until they knew for sure, because my blood work had to be sent out.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I got another, I think, 3 weeks of doxycycline.
Okay.
And so then I waited, and I had been scheduled with my primary care doctor for additional blood work for other things, so I went ahead with that, and she added on another, like, test for the Lyme.
Mm-hmm.
And now here we are in August. The Lyme didn't show up, but the doctor, my primary care person, said might not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, how much longer do I wait for more blood work to be done to make sure I don't get Lyme, because I know how serious it can become if I let it go too long.
Right, yeah, good question, Marie. I just have a couple questions, if that's okay. When you had it tested the first time, did it come up positive or negative?
Well, they told me they had to send it out, so... They said it was positive. It was there.
It was there. Okay.
Yeah, and I had a lot of blotch in my throat, and all the symptoms were there. I had the headache and the sweats and a whole bunch of other things.
Oh, yuck, I'm sorry. Gotten. Well, how are you feeling now after the full course of 28 days? You feeling better?
I feel better. It kind of mixes in with the other conditions that I have. I have serious arthritis.
I'm sorry. So it's kind of hard to distinguish.
Yeah, it sort of gets masked, and I have a high sugar. So I have to watch out because I can't sweat from things.
Goodness. Okay, well, honestly, Mary, I'm going to make you feel a little better. Truthfully, the CDC even tells us the testing for Lyme is not that great. So truthfully, even if, you know, it comes back negative, 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 positive, it doesn't really matter. We really do just treat the symptoms of Lyme. And the fact that you're feeling better is really the key that shows us that you had the accurate dosage. You had what's called probably Lyme arthritis, because for that we treat you for 28 days. And the doctors really just say, hey, are you feeling better? If not, a lot of times we can send you to infectious disease. But I wouldn't worry too much about the testing, because it does take 6 to 8 weeks at least to develop antibodies to the tick. So it does kind of depend when you were bit as well. And if it was positive before, I mean, I wouldn't worry too much about, you know, keep getting retested, because you had the accurate dose and it sounds like you were tested kind of early and on time. So that's
one thing. Great.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Anytime.
Thank you, doctor. Thank you.
Take care.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. I know doctors have the problem of people wanting antibiotics for everything. Do you see that? People come up with a cold
Goodness. Like... Yeah, we have kind of a sign out there. You have a virus. Yeah. The thing is, it's hard. I mean, people come to the doctor and say, I don't feel good and I really want me to feel better. I think if the doctor takes, you know, really a minute or two and say, this is why I'm not going to give you them. It's going to benefit you when you really do need them in the future. Then they're going to work a lot better. But sometimes it's hard. People say, hey, I want my Z-Pak and I'm ready to go kind of thing. But I really do tell them, I think it's viral. I think you're going to get better in a couple of days. If you don't, give us a call back and we can.
It might even have a placebo effect on it.
Actually, one of my physicians in residency, had the same thought. A lot of times placebo is the same as antibiotic. You're right.
Because it will do nothing for a cold, right?
No, or it'll just give you diarrhea. Who wants that? I mean, nothing. No, it actually can make it worse. So
800-348-2551, the number to call, 800-348-2551. Have you ever had a case, doctor, where somebody comes into urgent care for one thing and you spot something else that they didn't know they had and you referred them on to somebody?
Yes, actually, that's interesting. That happened not very long ago. Somebody came in for just a sore throat, and I just asked, you know, a lot of questions, said, yeah, I have a little bit of nausea too, and I asked more questions about the nausea, and this patient was about 26 or so. I said, well, I get a fever sometimes, so it could have just been strep, but I did an abdominal exam, and I sent him to the ER for acute appendicitis, and they had surgery the same day.
Ooh.
So, they didn't really realize. So it really shows the importance. Even in urgent care, you take the minute or two to
ask. They didn't know they had acute appendicitis?
No.
Isn't that rather painful, to say the least?
True. He's like, well, I've had this nausea, for a couple of days, but I kind of ignored it. My stomach hurts sometimes, but he kind of thought it was like a virus or something like that. But, so it's a good thing. You got to ask the right questions, I guess.
800-348-2551. Mark in Stone Ridge.
Hi, Mark.
Mark? Mark, are you there? Mark?
Nope, he figured out the answer himself.
Hello.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Mark.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I was in the hospital a couple of times this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, Mark.
And they sent me home. They put me on an antibiotic in intravenous, and then they sent me home with a prescription for another antibiotic. And then they called up today. They said, your blood work's come back, and there's I think he said gram-negative bacteria in the blood.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
So he sounded concerned. So I called the family doctor, and he said, you may have to go back to the hospital and get intravenous antibiotics. So I thought, what's that all about?
Right, it's true. A lot of times, so oral antibiotics can do a really good job for certain wounds and infections. But if you have what's called a gram-negative bacteria in the blood, it as often can cause what's called sepsis, and it's an infection in the blood that is a little bit more serious. And IV antibiotics work a little bit faster and a little bit stronger. So truthfully, Mark, I think, you should maybe go back to the hospital if that's what the results show. If your doctor told you to go back to the hospital, I think you should. Oral antibiotics might not be enough for the infection that you have.
He said he would see if I should go to an infectious disease specialist.
Yes, exactly. And they deal with this a lot. But the fact is, IV antibiotics, you can't just kind of pick up at your pharmacy. You really need someone to help you out to set up the IV and everything. So the hospital is the place you should go, Mark. I really hope you feel better.
Okay, thank you.
Anytime. Take care.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. As we're talking urgent care today with Dr. Chantala Sanad, urgent care specialist at HealthQuest Urgent Care Center in Wappingers Falls and LaGrangeville. 800-348-2551. Catherine and Troy, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Catherine.
I just went to an urgent care recently. I had an embedded tick, and and I didn't want to take it out myself.
Well, you're a smart lady.
Yeah. But my question is, you know, the use of PAs versus nurse practitioners versus doctors, mm-hmm. and they had a lot of PAs on, you know, serving the clients that came in.
Okay.
And I'm just concerned. I mean, I know nurse practitioners, you know, they're already nurses. They have to get a master's degree. There's a lot of medical training there. And PAs could have, you know, sort of a different kind of background and do the PA program, which is 2 years, my understanding, after your a bachelor's degree that could be unrelated to medicine. So could you speak to the credibility of the use of PAs?
Yes, definitely. So in urgent care, you can see all, like you said, all three different ones. And truthfully, yeah, a lot of nurse practitioners have been nurses for a long time, but it's not the same training that you get when it comes to PAs or MDs. That's why they go through the nurse practitioner program. So truthfully, the PA training, just from a, you know, a truthful standpoint, is more similar to MD training. So honestly, PAs are a great way, just as nurse practitioners are, to work in urgent care. And honestly, there's almost always an MD on site as well if they have any questions at all. But PAs are more than capable, just like NPs, to see anybody because they are very familiar with it. And like I said, their training is very similar to medical school.
Yeah, but basically, don't they have a 2-year program after some unrelated, perhaps, bachelor's degree?
No, not necessarily. It can be 2 years, it can be 3, it can be 4 years at all. And it really just depends on the area, too, how long it is. But PAs are very, very capable. I wouldn't have any problems at all treating with my own family members being treated by PAs. So I don't think you should worry at all. They're very, very capable.
All righty, that was my question.
All right.
Thanks, Catherine.
I don't know if you convinced her, but...
I don't think so either.
The most PAs, when I go to the doctor, they take your weight. They do the height and the weight before the doctor comes in, right? Or is that a PA?
Usually the nurses do that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like medical assistants,
RNs,
LPNs.
So what does a PA do?
PA's a physician assistant. So truthfully, they just have a little bit shorter years than med school. They're closer to doctors by training than nurse practitioners, actually.
Can they mm-hmm. diagnose?
Yes, they can do absolutely everything. They can write medicines. They can do everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure they can take a tick off.
Yes, that's more than capable, yes.
800-348-2551. Maybe a dental question, but Mike in East Greenbush is here. Mike?
Good afternoon.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. How are you?
Hi. Hey, quick question. I had a sensitive tooth, went to our new dentist. He found I took an x-ray and found I got a cavity too mm-hmm. close to the root and top of a filling, so I got to get a root canal.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's got to be done. Anyway, right. He prescribed some antibiotics. Is that normal, or did he see something maybe, or is he just getting ready for the root canal? I'm just wondering why he prescribed some antibiotics for me.
That's probably, did he give you amoxicillin or clindamycin, something about
clindamycin.
That? Yep, clindamycin. So there's a lot of times with root canals, you're just dealing with, you know, kind of deeper tissue too. So a lot of times it's very common to get antibiotics for sure. And those are really the two main ones. Like you said, the clindamycin, it's really just kind of prevent because you're going to go in for kind of a serious surgery. Just like if you go in for a surgery with your surgeon, they give you some preventative antibiotics just to make sure everything goes smoothly. So completely normal.
Just a little preventive medicine. Okay, very good.
Yep, no problem.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. They really got to change the name of root canal. That's just the most painful sounding thing.
Exactly.
Christy in North Adams wants to have some good words to say about PAs. Christy.
Thank you. I'm also a registered nurse. And
hi, Christy.
Hi. 9 times out of 10, I am thrilled when I deal with a PA or a nurse practitioner because they have the time
mm-hmm.
to sit down and pull all the information out of my memory.
Definitely.
They're really, I can't say enough good things about them.
Oh, that's so great. That's so nice to hear. I feel the same way, Christy.
Good.
Yes, definitely.
Also like urgent care. It saved me one day when I had bilateral bariatric ear infection. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Goodness.
So, thank you very much.
Yes, of course, Christy. Thanks for your call.
Thank you very much for calling. 800-348-2551. About 5 minutes left on the program. Time to get in your call. Lines are open at 800-348-2551. A lot of questions about antibiotics today.
Mm-hmm.
They usually give them for a limited amount because when I've had them, you take them too long, you really start feeling weird. Have you ever had that?
It's true. A lot of antibiotics really have like a 7 or 10 day window, and really at that 7th or 10th day, you have increased chance of rashes and side effects and things like that.
But almost like lightheadedness and
it's just something foreign in your body that it doesn't want. So if there really is an infection there, it's a good thing. But if there's not, that's why. You're absolutely right.
Are doctors reluctant to give another 7 to 10 days if the first
Always.
7 to 10 days don't
Very
work?
Very often they'll call and say, oh, hi, I had this and it didn't better, and probably because you had a virus.
Right.
And you didn't, viruses last longer than bacteria. So
800-348-2551, the number to call, 800-348-2551. How do you start with, like, someone says, I have a bad headache? That could be so many things.
Yeah, it's kind of the bane of an MD existence, right? The headache or the dyspnea. So it's really, again, the patient history. If it's a new headache, do they have a history of migraines? Dehydration is one of the main causes of headaches. And I'll tell you what, stress. Uh-huh. People need to relax, do some yoga, go for a walk in the Hudson Valley.
Right.
Stress is very often the cause of a simple headache. So,
but it could be something.
Could be Lyme disease. It could be lots of other things. You got to ask any associated symptoms, their age, any history, things like that. But
let's see, what is that, Vane in Beacon?
Yes.
Hi, Vane.
Go ahead.
Hi. I have had for a while a little bit of numbness in the tips of my toes, and sometimes when I curl my toes, I feel it, you know, in the bottom of my foot or further back. And I've heard that that's associated with,
Diabetes?
Diabetes,
yes.
Yeah. But I don't seem to have, my blood sugar seems to be fine, and I was wondering, is there any way, and circulation, as I understand, is one of the issues. And I wonder, is there any way without taking drugs, like I do exercises and try to manipulate them, and it comes and goes. It's not like a constant thing.
Right. Well,
and
definitely.
I was wondering, is there any way to keep it away, you know, not have to go to drugs?
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, first of all, I think we have to find out if you do have diabetes or not. Did you say you do or you're not sure?
I do not.
You do not have diabetes. Okay, so I think the first thing, that's usually a later sign of diabetes. It's called diabetic neuropathy. It's not always the first symptom, but if you have any other symptoms, like we talked about before, increased thirst or, you know, family history or urinating more often, you want to make sure and rule that out. But also, there's really simple causes, numbness in the toes. Sometimes your shoes are too tight. Sometimes people do a lot of walking throughout their job and they tie your shoes too tight. Some people, I've had fitness instructors because they're on the elliptical so often or they're doing aerobics and they have numbness too. So there's lots of different causes. I think you want to rule out the main ones first. And once diabetes is ruled out, you could think about other kind of simple things. And honestly, lots of water is really the key. Dehydration can kind of make you feel, you know, pins and needles sometimes. So make sure, we say to drink half of your weight in ounces every day.
Okay.
All right.
Very much.
Good luck, Bean.
Okay, time for probably one more call. Bill in Clifton Park. Bill?
Hi. Another tick question, I'm afraid.
Oh, my favorite.
I've had two or three. Where I work, I get a lot of ticks. One, though, dug in deep, and I went to the emergency care.
Okay.
They didn't get anything out of it, put me on antibiotics.
Okay.
My question is, I think the skeleton is still in my thigh. It swells and this has been 2 years. It swells up occasionally. If I'm out mowing the lawn and my clothes rub on the thigh, it'll swell up and get hard. And then a couple of days later, it goes away again. But then it comes back. So my question is do you think it's still in there?
Truthfully, that is one serious tick to live in there for a long time. Truthfully, when you
get
them.
I wouldn't think it'd be alive.
Sometimes a skeleton, it can have like a protein that kind of causes, you know, reactions as well. But if they take the body out, almost always it shouldn't cause that same reaction. But because it's in the same spot, you could have like what's called a contact dermatitis irritation from it. Do you have any other symptoms of Lyme disease at all? Headache, dizziness, fever?
No.
Okay, that's good. So honestly,
nothing came out though when they looked at it at Pumpkin. Then I went to my primary care.
Oh, okay, and you can't really see anything, right, in there?
No.
Okay. Just you know, swelling. CDC says even if you can't pull the whole thing out, you'll be okay.
Thank you for calling, and thanks to everybody who joined us today. We're out of time. I'd like to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those left on the line. That means you, Dick, in Longmeadow. Maybe next time. I'd like to thank our guest, Dr. Chantala Sanad, for joining us today. Thanks again to our engineer, Zachary Malloy. Our calls answered today by Colleen O'Connell, our producer, Jessica Blaustein-Marshall. I'm Brian Shields. Stay tuned now for a news update.